Alrighty. Well, a few weeks ago we left off and looking at the power of hope and that living hope, we're calling it a wonderful, wonderful view into a little bit of what Peter was preaching at the time. In particular, he brought to us two letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. And he clarifies to us there in chapter 1 about that living hope. And we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Now, we got into a little bit chapter number 2 last time. And so, as we see that, if you would jump down, chapter 2, verse 11. I didn't tell you that. I apologize. Chapter 2, verse 11. Now, notice again, he continues with this and says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, a war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin," underline that, "neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Okay, now, again, he's emphasizing, again, those people that have hope don't live as the world lives. Those people that have no hope, well, they're going to live just as he talks about. Those people that have a lot of that maliciousness and disobedience and stumbling and lust of the flesh and other things. Okay, now as we continue here, he touches on the subject of submission. We'll see that tonight a little bit. And we see that God's established all of this for us. He's given us a living inheritance we can look forward to. And through that precious, wonderful gift of salvation, we see it now. The power of hope produces several key elements we'll look at tonight. Now, notice a couple of these. First of all, the honesty with which we should carry ourselves. The honesty. Now, again, he says, verse 11, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest." Honest. There's honesty in that. We have in our hearts tonight, so often, for me personally, not always an honesty about me. Not always. And isn't that true that people look for that, don't they? The honesty about us. Are you honest? Are you true? Are you legitimate? Do you have integrity? And Peter says, beware and make sure you have an honest conversation. Again, that word conversation, meaning your lifestyle, right? Your interaction with people. And people are not easy to deal with, but again, we must seek in that honesty. Getting attached to this world, we know, can be easy to do. Those things war against us, he says. Notice he says in verse 11, the lust which war against the soul. And if you could do anything right and you're going to serve Christ for any length of time, and you let that lust come up, it's going to begin to war against the spiritual part of your life. Why don't you just leave me alone and run your race and I'll run mine? Don't work that way, does it? That lust wars against, tries to keep you away from the Word of God and out of church and all those other things. Okay? Now, thinking about that, we stay spiritual. We're looking forward to that. And he says when you have the spirituality about you, when you do have that living hope in you, you have an honesty about you. Now, among the Gentiles, in particular the unbelievers, when they do speak evil against you, right, they say you're an evildoer. By your good works, they'll glorify God. They'll glorify God. Isn't it fascinating the unbelieving world calls us evildoers? We see it today, don't we? And you say one thing at work about your stand against all that they're for today. All that transgenderism and all those other things. What happens? Boy, you're all of a sudden an evildoer. You're evil. You're mean. You're wicked. You want people to die. You apparently want everyone to just die. You know, heard one reporter say that. They just want everyone to just to die. I don't know what else they want us to do. You think about it. They call us evildoers. Now, they're going to happen. It's going to happen. They're going to speak evil against you. They're going to come against you. If you lived any length of time as a Christian in this world, you're going to find out people don't like you. And Jesus said that. What? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. They hate me. They hate your Savior and Master. They're going to hate you. They're not going to like you. And you think about it. Now, none of us have truly, I don't know, maybe you have, but none of us have had a gun put to our head and said, recount. And deny the name of Christ. You know. Now, that day may come very soon. I don't know. We're praying. This world is getting so messy, ain't it? I mean, just messy, very quickly. But none of us have really faced a lot of that type of persecution quite yet. And so I think about, you know, when they speak evil against us, okay, that's fine. You may have thick skin, that's good. They speak evil against you. Let your good works speak for you. Don't retaliate. Now he mentions this. Verse 22, neither was guile found in his mouth. When reviled, reviled not again. Now, when they were spitting in his face and slapping this man, again, as a man, that's the most insulting thing you can do, right? I mean, don't do that. You know, you want to call me every name you want to call me, go ahead. It don't hurt my feelings. But you spit in my face or you slap me open-handed like a woman, you know, that offends me. That ticks me off. That makes me mad. Now, you think about all that they did to him. Have you ever pulled your beard hair out on accident or something? I mean, good night, that hurts, you know. And they ripped it from his face and all the things. Okay, we know all of that. Now, but when that happened, what did he do? He reviled not again. When he suffered, verse 23, he threatened not. Oh, come back and you're going to... Could he have said that? Absolutely, Son of God. You'll be sorry one day. He didn't say that, did he? In fact, on the cross, what did he do? He put his head up for a brief moment and said what? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Now, how many people actually got saved by watching the crucifixion of Christ in that scene? I don't know, but I guarantee you there's quite a few that saw that. You know, the centurion stood there and said, whoa, surely or truly, honestly, this must be the Son of God. Now, you think about it. But what did he do? He let his good works, if you want to call it that, again, speak for him. He suffered, he threatened not, but committed, notice this, himself to him that judges righteously. My friends, let me remind you that we have a judge, capital J, that judges righteously. In Hebrews, he says, remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, not you. And you think, well, God's not judging them quick enough. God didn't do it the way I wanted them to do it, right? He's a righteous judge. He's righteous and he does everything according to righteousness. He is just. That word just means he is right in his judgment. He committed himself fully to the Father. I do always those things that please him. Jesus said that, and we ought to as well. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Now you think about that. We should be dead to sin because he bore all of that. Now, talking again here this evening about that honesty, again, is we have a living hope or a lively hope. We have an honesty about us. Why? Because we commit ourselves to one that judges righteously. I let my good works speak for me. I allow that to go on. I don't retaliate in that regard. I don't threaten back. I don't revile back. I let God do the work. Our conversation or lifestyle must be kept in check as we are around the Gentiles, particularly the lost. Now, the honesty is the key word. Puts it, you think about Peter, very interesting to think about. And again, as you read your Bible, read it with some little more discernment than some people. Read into it. Think about, as you study the Bible, who wrote this? Okay, Peter. Let's think about Peter for a minute. We know very little about Peter. We know very little about all the apostles, actually, don't we? Very little, except what the Bible really tells us. But Peter, he was a fisherman. You know that. he was a sailor. And boy, they got a mouth on them, don't they? And he could talk, boys. He stood, remember when they arrested Jesus, they stood around the fire. Boy, he let it rip, man. He just started just foul mouth. He said, I'll show you I'm not one of his followers. But that's what Peter was. And Peter came from a rough background. Okay, he was a man's man, hardworking, and all of that. But he had to come to a point in his life when he had to submit himself, as the Bible says, commit himself to him that judges righteously. He says, well, what about him? Jesus said, don't worry about him. What about John? What's John going to do? Don't worry about him. What is that to you? I want to deal with you personally. By the way, what a wonderful thing to think about. Jesus wants to deal with us personally. Okay, we come together corporately like we do because we're commanded to in Scripture. But personally, and he daily keeps a checkup on us. And he wants to work with us. He wants to help us and guide us. Isn't that wonderful? Personal one-on-one attention. Honesty is a key word. As we think about pleasing him and pleasing him alone, we submit to every ordinance. Verse 12, again, notice that. Excuse me. For the Lord's sake. Now, thinking through this, again, we have certain ordinances that we don't agree with. Again, we studied this before, but there's ordinances we don't agree with. Some people say, should I obey them? Well, obey them as best you can. And I always say this, obey the rules and ordinances of this land until they come to a crossroads of contradicting the Word of God. Then we say, hang on, I can't do that. You've worked here 25 years. You're going to let it all go because of this one thing? I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. Why? Well, because of what I believe. Because of what the Word of God says. Now, they're going to laugh at you, right? Oh, you fool. You think about this, though. He says, submit to it. Now, we can submit to most ordinances. I know fellas, and you know them probably as well, too, but they think everything but the government puts out is evil. They won't follow any rule. You know, I won't follow none of that. Well, what their life is difficult. I mean, it's just constant problems with fighting these things. And again, let me encourage you with it. A lot of things we don't understand and we don't agree with. Obviously, we follow it until it contradicts our beliefs, the Word of God in particular, okay? Obey it. Following through. Now, this applies back to, again, the honesty with which we should have. The will of God. And thinking through all of that. For so, verse 15 is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How many ignorant, foolish people are out there? Oh, and we follow through. We do the will of God. Okay, I must get through that part. Now, next, notice the honor with which we should have. The honor. Verse 17, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We're to honor those in authority. We're to honor the people around us. Now, I believe in giving honor to whom honor's due. Even if you don't like the person, they did something, they deserve honor, you give them honor. Respect to whom respect is due. You may not like that person. You may not agree with your parents, but the Lord says, honor them, respect them, so forth. Now, think about that. Honor the brother, honor the all men. Honor everybody. Show respect. Show that to them. Show the regard to them. Give them first place. Submission. We're called to suffer for the name of Christ. And this is one of the areas. Giving honor to certain people we may not want to. But we know it's due. We know it's due. And thinking through. We're to love the brotherhood. Now that includes, you know that, saved individuals. The brotherhood around us we love. There's some brethren, I know this will shock you, but there are some pastors and churches that I just don't get along with. Not that we argue or fight, but just, you know, your personality is different than mine. And I, you know, we got to do it this way, brother, you know. And I say, well, I don't think we really need to, I mean, what's the big deal then? Now, if it's biblical, absolutely, I'll follow that. But this is just their method of ministry, you know. And I'm not good at this either, but I know I got some pastor friends, man. It's like talking to a brick wall. I mean, I'm trying to be nice, but I mean, it's just like, and now I can say that because I'm a pastor, okay? You can't say that. Now they'll call me, what are you talking about? And it's tough to talk to them. I'm like, man. And you think about it, though, honor to whom honor's due. That wasn't very honoring, was it? That wasn't nice. Okay, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Okay, so thinking about this honor that which we hold, this honesty, all coming back to what? We have a living hope we're looking forward to. I'm willing and willing and able to do these things if I'm called to do it, because I have a hope waiting for me. I have an inheritance incorruptible, fadeth not away. It's acceptable to God. It is truly. He submitted himself. Now, Jesus Christ, oh, I like this. We follow his steps, he says, and we follow him in his suffering. Few and far between will ever go through what Jesus Christ ever went through. But he controlled that. He controlled his mouth. He controlled his response. He controlled his emotions. And he committed the outcome to God. He says in verse 24, consider yourself dead to sin and consider yourself found in Christ. Oh, I like that. I like that. For verse 25, ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned. Look at that. You were dead to sin. You're found in Christ. You identify. You identify with him. I want to encourage you to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're returned now unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, chapter 3, let's get into that just a little bit here because I must hurry. Then we see the hidden man of the heart. As we see this, likewise, ye wives, be subject to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be not that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the in the sight of God, great price. For after this manner is the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay, now we look at the hidden man of the heart personally. As we see that our hearts are the things that God looks at, you know that. He's seeking after. We know that as the great prophet Samuel came to the Jesse, he said, line your sons up. Let me see them. And the first guy was tall and, you know, real muscular and good looking. He said, is this the next king, Lord? The Lord said, that's not him. He goes to the next guy, and the next guy was even better looking. Is that him? No, that's not him. And he goes down the whole line. He says, well, isn't there another son? He says, well, I got a son. He's out in the field working. Well, where? Get him over here. You know, got him over here. What? He said, that's him. That's David. He was the runt of the little litter. He was a little guy, right? Nothing really good, exciting to look at. That's him. That's what God. And God says what? Man looks on the outward. I look on the heart. I look on the heart. And now we think about, now the hidden man of the heart, Peter speaks particularly in this regard, that we see that our heart is what he's seeking after, and he wants our heart. He wants to see where we're going to be. So often people put so much emphasis on the outward, as I often can do that as well, so much emphasis on what's going on in the outward, and God says, no, I'm not interested in that. I want to see where you are inwardly. Submission has to do with the order and authority. That's thinking about it. Again, talking about this, a saved woman trying to reach her husband, yes, again, with her conversation, her lifestyle would win him and reach those people. By the way, pray for lost husbands. We have a lot of men. We got some ladies that are come by themselves and have some lost husbands. Let's pray for them. Oh, the leadership in the home is just completely lacking. There's just no leadership. There's no saved man. Praise God for you here tonight. You men, saved, love the Lord, and are leading your home the right way. Praise God for that. But you know you're in a very small percentage, and we're very rare in the world around us. You work along other men, I'm sure, that are a broken home. They're divorced. They have all kinds of problems. I don't know. But you think about very, very rare breed here, we could call it. And so thinking about winning that person. Now, we couple that conversation, he says, with fear. And the adorning of the woman, making sure, again, coming of that. And when the heart's right, the outside will follow. We know that, right? We know that. The outside, what they wear, their conversation, their heart. We had one young lady years ago, and she was such a sweet girl. But boy, she would wear the skimpiest stuff to church. And she would, I mean, it was just to wear the point, and it was like, man, you can't wear that, you know. And, well, she came and she finally got saved. I thought she was saved, but she came and said, I don't think I'm saved. She got saved, she got right. And did you know I didn't have to say one thing to her? She came back and she started dressing properly and wearing the right stuff. That's what happened, isn't it? We know that and see that. When the heart's right, the outward will follow. Now notice, again, no way in any way is trying to be legalistic in any way. We're waiting for the Lord. We're allowing that. He then again talks about, briefly comes back to the Old Testament and gives us a great example of that. So often people say, let's toss out the Old Testament. We don't need it. That's a lie from the devil. Paul says it's for our learning and admonition. We need it. We go back to the Old Testament, find wonderful stories and examples of what to do. And he gives us that example of Sarah and her submission. Okay, we're talking again about the heart of the person, the hidden heart of man or of a person. And considering what Sarah was willing to do for her husband. Again, I said this morning, but Abraham, God told him, I want you to go. Well, where? I won't tell you that yet. And can you imagine the conversation he had when he got home? Honey, today I quit my job. Oh, we got a better job? You got a raise? No. God told me to go. Well, where are we going? A new house? You're buying me a new house? No, we're not sure where we're going yet. Where are we going to live? In a tent? We got to sell stuff? Yeah, we got to sell some stuff. We got to move. You're going to move us away from our family and friends? Yeah, we got to do that. You think about her submission. Isn't that wonderful? She's a great picture for every believer, and not only just other women, but every believer. We're submitting ourselves. We don't want to. It's uncomfortable. I don't really like it, but I'll submit to it. Why? For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Okay, now I know I'm preaching to you folks know these things, but it's a great reminder to us to think about that. The man then gives honor unto the woman. Again, he mentions the weaker vessel. He's not saying she's less of a person. That word again, she's to be cared for. She's to be, again, nurtured. She's to be loved. All those things that we looked at a couple months ago in our Wednesday night series on the home. And then he says you can have some happy days. Okay, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will notice love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means to shun or avoid evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. There it is again, with meekness and fear. Okay, so not only the hidden heart, but notice I put next the happy days. You want to see happy days and have happy days. You remember the old show maybe back from the 70s, you know, Happy Days. And we don't got time for that. But anyways, okay, we must have a real desire to love life. This life is hard. This life is hard fought. Boy, it can be tough. But we have happy days. He says, you want to see good days? Where does it come back to? Oh, that stinking tongue again. My biggest problem is my tongue, isn't it? I often tell my wife, you know, open mouth and insert foot. You know, I always do that. Just say something real stupid. Sorry, pardon my language, but just stupid. And she said, you didn't say that. I said, yeah, I said that. I told dear lady at Walmart the other day, forgive me, Lord. I already had to repent of this. She came up and parked right next to me, and she parked about that close. You get those people parked that close to you? And she wasn't a small lady. So she got out of her car. I mean, she, you know, hit the door, and I'm sitting in the car waiting. And I shouldn't have said it, and I said it. It was very rude of me. But I said, boy, and there was like 10 other parking spaces empty next to her. And I said, ma'am, you had to park right next to me? And boy, she let me have it. Well, what's your problem? You got a bad attitude? What's your... And I said, okay, all right. Okay, have a good day. You know, shouldn't even open my mouth, you know. And then I said, well, now I can't give her a track. Now I can't invite her to church. She's going to see me online, you know, now and say, that's that dirty, rotten rascal that I... Anyways, you think about that. Okay, now, the hidden man of the heart, the happy days, controlling our tongue. A real desire. We want to love life? Yeah. It's hard, but I want to love it. We see the unity presented to us. Unity, the wonderful, powerful force on earth. A church is united. A home is united. A marriage is united. People are united. Oh, it comes back to what? The control of our mouth, our tongue. And we think about that. Now he says, going through, eschew evil, verse 11. Shun it, get away from it, and do good, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek it, go after it. Pursue after that peace that is there. I seek it and I pursue it. How do I stop that? How do I stop the momentum of that peace? Well, again, coming back to, it's my heart, it's my attitude, it's my tongue. It is that thing that is evil in the world that pushes against us doing right for God. Out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody asked the other day, how do I control my mouth and stop using such foul language? Well, that's easy to do, isn't it? It's just, man, it's tough. And again, referenced that and said, well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what are you putting in your heart? You know, what are you watching? What have you been listening to? You listen to that stuff, man. You can't even watch social media without every other video or someone posts something, just foul language. You know? Foul, foul, foul. And boy, it'll come back out, won't it? That's what he's talking about. Boy, we're focused in on, I want to pursue after what God wants me to pursue after. I'm going to go after it and pursue it like I'm supposed to. The eyes of the Lord over the earth. We think about, I got many things here. Let me keep going here. Verse 10 is refrain from evil. Often we're loud where the Bible is silent, and we're silent where the Bible is pretty loud, aren't we? That's something for me, where the Bible's pretty clear and loud about it, I don't say very much. But one little thing about it, one little thing that I like, or I get on a hobby horse about, well, I'll get loud about it. And we get tight-lipped about the things of God, and we get around unbelievers. I know I do often. We give proof, though, of the power of God. James, you know, speaks about the power of the tongue. We won't go there tonight, but he speaks about what's an unruly evil. Oh, sets on fire things around us. Again, just want to encourage you with that. If we have a living hope within us, we know what to do. We know what to say. We know not what not to say. We refrain the tongue. We eschew evil. We stay away from those things. Avoid, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, avoid all appearance of evil. Well, it's not evil, but does it look evil? Yeah, could give that appearance. It has an appearance of evil. Well, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to go anywhere near it. I was a while back, I was sitting in a parking or at a stoplight, and the guy next to me was bumping his music loud. And somebody I knew passed by, and they called me just joking around. Said, man, was that you bumping that music over there? I said, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I don't think it was. No, that wasn't me. If you think about that, right? The appearance of you. Someone sees that or listens to that, and they can think that way. And maybe you've had a situation like that or a time or two. And it's a mistaken identity. Mistaken identity. I saw you over at that place. You know, I wasn't there. It was some guy that looked just like me or something. You know, it's like, what in the world? That's what the adversary wants to do, though. Again, avoiding that appearance of evil. We're seeking the peace. We're going after it. Often we replace so many things for our pursuit of God. Going after it and thinking through it. His eyes are over the righteous, verse 12, and we'll wrap it up here. His eyes are over the of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now again, as we look back at verse 7, we can't have prayers that are hindered. Our prayers we don't have time to have prayers that are hindered in this life. We've got to have our prayers answered. We've got to have prayers that we're on point with, and we're not always going to be perfect. And again, verse 7 talks in particular about a husband and wife and being right with each other. And when they're not right, the prayers are hindered. He says, don't even come to me with those prayers. You need to handle something first. And so often, it can be hindered. But he reminds us that his ears are open. His eyes are over us. His ears are open. He's listening. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you? You followers of that which is good. And if we do suffer, he says, happy. Be not afraid of their terror. Now, these apostles were tough guys. I don't like when they say this stuff. Happy are ye when ye endure trials. Happy are ye when ye go through the fire. I don't like that. But we know that we can be. That true contentment and peace. Okay, let me close out here with verse 15. And sanctify, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Okay? Set the Lord apart. He has a special place in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. Do you know there's somebody that's going to come one day? You may not think, well, nobody ever asked me about the Lord. There's somebody one day. And it may be a little bit more time when, especially one of your children will grow up and say, Daddy, can you tell me about the Lord? Daddy, I heard one of my friends died, and I'm scared about that. Can you tell me? Right? We have an opportunity. It may be somebody of a coworker, friend, a brother, sister, maybe a parent, an older person in your life. And they'll come and they say, hey, could you tell me a little bit about that? They ask you of the reason of the hope. You have this thing called hope within you, a living hope. There's something different about you. We all work at the same job, and you're the one that's, you got a good spirit about you. And you say, well, I got hope. I have hope. Hope in what? Well, hope one day I'll be with my Lord and Savior. The hope, I'll ask you a reason of that. Now, you and I know that day's coming, and I hope it will come very soon when some folks will ask us about our hope. Why are you doing that? What you've been doing? I'm so impressed and just encouraged. I've talked to several of you here tonight, but about your faith and your walk with the Lord. It's not been easy, but you've stepped out by faith. And little steps of faith, okay? Here it is. Let's do something different. Marriage is not working the way we're doing it. Let's try something else, okay? Oh, let's respond to that gospel tract, or let's respond to what we heard on the news or the media. Let's listen to what this guy has to say, maybe, and let's start reading our Bibles or whatever the case. It just led you down that track closer to the Lord, and you took the steps of faith. Do you know there's millions of people that were presented with the truth this week, just as you were, and they rejected it? I think it was Brother Ryan mentioned about getting on that rail, getting on that track, you know, and thinking about that. There's a lot of people that were offered the opportunity to receive the truth, and they said, no, thanks, I don't want it. We'll do it our way. And where they are today. You folks here tonight took the opportunity. You said, Lord, I want to respond to you. I want to respond to the way you've been working in my life. Why? And I want to remind you this lastly. You're on the winning side. Don't forget that. You are on the winning side. And your God is the most powerful being, if we want to call him that, in any kind of existence you can think of. We have no name for the universe that's above our universe, that's above that universe, that's above that. We have no idea what to call it. You think of all of the space of everything that ever existed. He is the creator God of everything. He's the most powerful, I dare to use a word there, powerful of all powerful. And you get to serve him. And you're on the winning side. And now the world's going to knock against you and say, well, there's all the kinds of that with all this and that. And you should, don't listen to any of that. My friends, you're where you're supposed to be, and you can rejoice in that. Nobody will ever defeat God. Nobody. No one ever will take his place. No one will ever skew his plans. No one will ever close this book. Nobody. Now, the adversary tries to get in our ear and tell us that we can't do it and that he will defeat the Lord. Didn't he do that on earth? No, he won't. You and I serve the risen Savior, and we have a living hope. And that ought to bring comfort to your hearts tonight to know that. I don't need to fear this world. I don't need to fear the devil, the adversary, and his demons, and his imps, and his gnomes, and all those things, demonic thing. I don't fear none of that. Why? I'm on the winning side. And nobody on the playground can beat me up. Why? Because you got the bigger brother, and he's standing there. And I'll take care of it. You think about that. That ought to bring hope to you. Oh, my friends, we serve the risen Savior. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's eternal. And he stretches his arm out still, the prophet says, Isaiah says, his arm is stretched out still to anyone who wants to receive it. Will you take him up tonight? You have a living hope in him. Just some things here again tonight. Thank you for listening so well. But some really directives given to us by Peter. If you truly have a living hope, your life will be different. Your lifestyle, your conversation is the word he uses. Your lifestyle will be different. And you'll see it, and others will see it, and they'll all ultimately come and say, hey, can you tell me about what you've got? That'll be rare, few far between, but hey, we're ready all the time. A good soldier's ready all the time, isn't he? I'm ready. And he says, I'm ready. What's the hope within you? Let me tell you about him. Okay, I thank you for listening so well this evening. Again, let me remind you just to stay in your Bibles this week. Keep going, keep focused, keep at it, and stay in your prayer closet, as I often say. Keep praying and seeking the Lord. and ask Him for His direction in your life. Ask Him for His perfect will for you, not only today, but tomorrow and each day of the week. He'll show you. He'll direct you, okay? All right, I'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer, Lord. Again, thank You for this evening. These folks have listened so well. I know everyone in here has a very busy week ahead of them tomorrow. And Lord, I pray and plead for Your help. We need Your help. We're utterly dependent upon You, Lord. Would You please guide us and help us? Would You lead us? Help us, Lord, as we fulfill Your will. A lot of directives and commands tonight through the book of 1 Peter. If we truly have a living hope, it'll change us, Lord, from the inside out. We thank You for that great. Thank You for Your goodness to us, but also, Lord, Your power and how awesome You are. None else stands beside You. You're the God of all gods, and we get to serve You. And we thank You, Lord, if You'd bring someone our way that would ask us of the reason of the hope that's in us, You would direct us there and orchestrate all of that. We love and thank You again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.